Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. We are live from downtown Youngstown at Youngstown Studio. Joe Danier is joining me. It is, of course, March 30th, 330. So pretty cool, you know, doing a show on 330, which was supposed to start at 330. But of course, I got delayed today. So it is 341 and we're starting the show. But
are you a numbers guy? Like, you really like numbers?
I do. I'm a big numbers guy.
Repeating digits and significance and
numbers. For sure. How about you? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you know, we did a show on Pi Day 3.14 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, now it's nearly the end of the month and that's no joke. April 1st is coming up fast. Mm-hmm. You got any April Fool's Day jokes up your sleeve?
You know what? I used to put a lot of effort into planning really good April Fool's jokes. Yeah. I just haven't in a while.
I feel like when you're a kid, it's like a big deal. Like I will say I did something that my adult self looks back on in shame that I did to my mom once to scare her. And it was really dumb, but so I'll just tell it now. Okay. Because why not? We're already here. So she was like getting ready for work or something. And I don't know, like, I don't know what I was doing, making like peanut butter and jelly toast or something like that. It was lunchtime. So I was making, a bologna sandwich with ketchup and mustard. So what triggered me was the ketchup. And that now too, bologna and ketchup and mustard sounds so gross, but back as a kid, I must've loved it. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about with ketchup, what's happening. So I pretended I cut my hand and there was like blood everywhere. And she of course lost it and got pissed and rightfully so. So I think I hung it up after that on April Fool's Day. So
I think 10 years is the length of time where you could be charged with
the statute of limitations. Something else I did, this wasn't April Fool's Day, but like maybe early high school years, if I wanted to miss a day, I wasn't feeling too good. Or I just wanted to sleep in or whatever, I would take a cup of water or whatever liquid and, you know, the bathroom door's closed. So it would muffle the sound. I'd be like, oh, I'm not feeling too good. And then proceed to dump it in the toilet and it makes the throw up sound. So yeah, I did that a few times too. Not proud of myself, but you know, hey, it worked. I got a day off of school or whatever. So don't try that at home maybe try it at home.
That is the worst Justin has ever done.
I'm generally a nice person, but
nice and calming and follow the letter of the law.
mostly. Joe, you're too kind. You're too kind. So I'm wearing the 330 on the hat as I generally do. We are in the 330 Youngstown, but that includes Canton, Akron, you know, all the way up north, almost into Ashtabula County, down to Columbiana County. So Joe, We've talked about this a couple years ago, and we talk about how we love Youngstown a lot. And we actually did a show, the opposite version of that, the pet peeves of Youngstown, last Thursday. But give me some stuff you love about this area, the 330, Akron, Canton, Youngstown, whatever it might be. Just give me some of your favorite stuff.
So my absolute favorite is the work ethic of our area. Mm-hmm. We are badasses when it comes to skill set and just grit and being able to like overcome huge obstacles. I love that about us.
Yeah, no doubt. We are a hard working community. And I think that shows in, you know, past generations, but also future generations. You know, we're kind of like that, you know, what is it like Youngstown invented grit, that kind of stuff. It was like here. But like the old, you know, saying with like, you know, the steel workers and whatnot, but like, this is a hardworking blue collar town. Much like most of the Midwest, you know, Cleveland and Detroit and Pittsburgh and all those cities. But the nice thing is we're located kind of like right in the heart of everything here. You know, we're kind of not a big city here, but we're close to just a little bit of everything. So I love the stuff about Youngstown where we have so much innovation that goes on here. And a lot of it, unfortunately, has left Youngstown, you know, whether it be entrepreneurs or whatever. But we are starting to keep some of that home and keeping some of that home base here in Youngstown, whether it be local businesses or just in academia or whatever it might be. And that includes Canton and Akron and Kent and all that in this area. So we have a nice home base here, and you know, we are proud to be from the 330. And I saw one of my favorite, obviously, brands, local businesses is Youngstown Clothing Company. They put out their new shirt today. It said 33 yo. So I definitely will be picking one of those up very, very shortly. So
I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, how did you get the paint splatters so uniform across your shirt?
Yeah.
And what are you painting that's white and like a robin's egg blue?
This is probably a teal.
Oh, all right. Color. I'll go with teal.
But maybe a robin's egg blue. Though actually, you know, the painting just comes to me in the middle of the night. Oh, I just do the splatter art, you know. So,
well, it's uniform, perfect.
Yeah, no, it really is. It turned out great. So this was just a blue sweatshirt before I started painting. And you know, when the art comes at me in the middle of the night, I just let it fly. So and you may notice, unfortunately, these are Seattle Mariner colors, which that's who the Cleveland Guardians open up with today, and didn't even think about it. It's comfortable shirt.
It was on purpose.
Yeah.
He's paying homage.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it is what it is, but, it is opening day for the Cleveland Guardians. You know, nothing says, opening day of baseball, like a 10-10 start tonight at, in Seattle. So I will most likely watch about two innings of the game tonight and be in bed, because that's just the
late night
season of my life right now where I'm at, where I'm generally in bed by like 11. But you know, but by all accounts, the new rules of baseball, the pitch clock and all that, the games will be moving faster, so we'll see how that all goes. But yeah, the Indians, I already did it, opening
put
day
into the jar.
Throw a buck into the swear jar. But the Guardians will open up tonight at Seattle, and actually ironically they will open up next week at home on April 7th, which is Friday, against those same Seattle Mariners. So,
right, so give me some predictions. Slow start opener, or are they gonna come out like a rocket ship?
Well, like for game one, it's always a little tricky, but I would imagine it would be like a low scoring. Usually the pitchers are a little bit ahead of the hitters at this point, and you usually throw out your aces game one. So Bieber's going to be pitching for the Guardians, and I forgot who the Seattle pitcher is, but he's pretty solid. So they're going to, I would say, a low scoring close game, and you know, maybe whichever team comes up with the clutch hit late. So I'm going to say Guardians 4-3 over the Mariners. That's what I'll say. So we'll see what the run line is, but we'll say 4-3 Guardians tonight over the Mariners. And I don't know the lineup. They're probably generally put that out about 3 hours before game time, but this is the lineup I expect them to throw out tonight. Stephen Kwan leading off in left field, really solid player, only going to get better. Last year hit 300, had a bunch of steals, plays great defense, puts the ball in play, does not strike out. Ahmed Rosario at shortstop, you know, plays a solid shortstop, was third overall in Major League Baseball in hits last year. Jose Ramirez, the perennial candidate for MVP, playing third base. Josh Bell, the new addition. By the way, Josh Bell, I just found this out like a week ago, but he married a girl from Poland, not Poland, the country, Poland, Ohio. Wow. So yeah, home of the MLO bros over there. Right. But so Josh Bell married a girl from right here in the 330. Maybe we can work out a connection, maybe see if we can arrange to get Josh on the show. That'd be kind of neat.
Now on your graphic, mm-hmm. the blue on red contrast, every graphic designer is throwing up a little bit.
Oh,
so
does
thanks
it,
for that high contrast.
Does it have a purple? Or no, just too high contrast?
Yeah, look at that. Like you need a little, you need white on red,
yeah,
or white on blue.
Maybe I'll change the font on the names to white. Maybe I'll do that just okay. So it doesn't give too many seizures or whatever out there. Josh Naylor's probably either going to play. He's either going to be your DH or play first base, and probably him and Josh Bell will probably you know, tag team that. Oscar Gonzalez came up real late last night, or late last year, but hit really well, hit about 311 home runs in a really short time span, a little over 300 at bats. He's going to be your right fielder this year. Andrés Giménez, your all-star second baseman, locked up now for the next 6 years. So the Guardians have signed Ramirez long-term, Andrés Giménez long-term. You got Quanez on a rookie deal. You got a lot of these guys that are going to be wearing Cleveland uniforms for a long, long time, which is awesome.
All right, so the Indians front office, I'm sorry, Guardians front office versus the Browns front office. If you rate them, who's better?
Well, I mean, just the Guardian, you have to go with the Guardians based on productivity on the field, because I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You know, they Guardians have, you know, no one expected them to do much last year. They almost made it to the American League Championship Series, you know. They are the youngest team in baseball, like the Browns were the youngest team in football, but production over hype. I always say that, like, or what is it? There's an actual saying that goes with that, but whatever actually happens legitimately, the production is more so than the hype. So the Browns could very well get there and, you know, might have a higher ceiling, but the Guardians with a good pitching staff, a good young core, are going to be around for a long time. So baseball is more of a marathon, whereas football is a marathon too, but it's a little bit more of a sprint because you want to get out to a good start too. So,
and I think the Browns are willing to take bigger risks. Mm-hmm. I think the Guardians take more calculated, smaller.
That's 100% correct, because in football, your owners are all billionaires, like multi-billionaires, whereas in baseball, there's a lot of inequity with big market teams and small market teams, whereas the NFL has figured out a perfect narrative where Green Bay can compete with Los Angeles, which and you know, Cleveland's and Pittsburgh's are sometimes the best teams in, well, Pittsburgh's are sometimes the best teams in the league, and they can compete with the Giants or, you know, the Rams or whatever it might be, any big market team. So the NFL has really figured out a nice formula for that. Whereas baseball, they have profit sharing and they have this and that, but there's no salary cap. So the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Cubs and whatever, the Phillies can spend $250 million on the payroll, whereas, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates are spending 35, or the Oakland A's are spending 40. Last year, that was a big ordeal with the Guardians because they weren't spending money. But, you know, now they're showing some efforts to spend some money, keep some talent in town, while also keeping up that young core, because Major League Baseball players don't make a whole lot of money until they get to that, you know, arbitration and contract period toward the end. But when you get paid in baseball, you get paid well. So, you know, there's a lot of money to be spent, but you got to also think too, there's 26 on the roster. So about half of what's on a football team, you know? So you're more likely to miss in football than you are in baseball, just based on the number of players. But you also have to, you know, build up your farm system, whereas college is your farm system in football. So it's not quite apples and apples, but I would say I got to give the nod to the Guardians until the Browns actually come through and do some more winning. I mean,
this is our year.
It might be. Totally. It might be. We'll see. We'll talk about the Browns here in a little bit. But the Browns are doing some good things off the field in this free agency cycle. So Shane Bieber will be on the mound tonight. Last year, 13-8, 2.88 ERA, your 2020 AL Cy Young Award winner. 200 innings last year, about 200 strikeouts and a whip, which if you don't know what whip is, it's walks and hits per inning pitch. So you add those up, you divide it. And so basically he allows basically one batter to reach per inning, which is pretty solid. If you can keep your whip pretty low, what'd Eric Pierce say? Bring a case of Penguin beer, city beer to the May 20th. Oh, Eric. So Eric is Eric hosts is the top dog tailgate up in Cleveland. So Joe, we got to actually get up to that tailgate. I've been there one time and it was awesome. It was just so freaking cold that day that I was there. But Eric runs a really, really good tailgate with close to the flats area, but close to in between the flats and the stadium. So
this is baseball.
This is for football. Okay, for football. So yeah, we'll bring some Penguin City, and they are doing a May 20th tailgate though in Berea to raise money for a dog shelter up in Cleveland. So I've usually participated at least in donations to that before, but it might be fun to check out. If we'll check our calendar, Eric, and we'll see if we can make it. So
now, is
be
it
fun.
A 20-year-old tailgate or a 40-year-old?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's pretty eclectic, but I would say it's probably more our age with some younger people mixed in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say like 40 is probably your average. So you might get some 50s, 60s. You might get some 30 and 20s. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is about the food and the drinking.
Yeah. There's a lot of good food and there's some shots flying. Okay. There's some beers had, you know, it's a good time. So, so yeah. So we'll see.
Just want to make sure we don't average up the age.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We're right in the mean. We're right in the mean there. So, let's take a look real quick at the opening day roster for the Cleveland Guardians. And I know there will be plenty of people that still want to call it Indians. And that's totally fine with me. For the record, I'm just going to go with the Guardians because that's what they're called now. So I grew up an Indians fan and I will forever be a Cleveland Indians fan, but I'm going to go with the actual team name. So the opening day roster will consist of three catchers, which they will not keep three catchers throughout the whole season. But Mike Zunino, Cam Gallagher, and good luck pronouncing that last name, Mibris Valoria. I don't know. No, we're going to go with that. First baseman, they're going to carry two, one of which will be your DH, but Josh Bell and Josh Naylor. Second base, Andres Jimenez. Third base, Jose Ramirez. Ahmed Rosario at short. Outfielders, we're basically going to carry four of them. Stephen Kwan, Miles Straw, Oscar Gonzalez, and Will Brennan. Will Brennan will be your utility guy. Your starting pitchers will be Shane Bieber, Cal Quantrill, Aaron Civale, Zach Plesac, Hunter Gaddis. You do not see Tristan McKenzie, unfortunately, on there because currently he is injured. He's going to be out for the first about 7 weeks of the year. So that's a big loss because that guy is good and we will need him down the stretch for sure. And then relief pitchers, which, you know, Francona loves to use. Emmanuel Clase, best closer in baseball. James Karinchak, great setup man, wild thing. They call him. He wears the Rick Vaughn number 99. He's a little bit crazy. Nick Sandlin, Trevor Stephan, who they just locked up to a long contract, Eli Morgan, Eniel De Los Santos, Tim Herron, and I believe it's Xavion Curry. That will round out your bullpen there. So pretty good look for the Guardians. I still like to say tribe from time to time. I still think that's fun to say, but Joe and I already had mentioned to you the major rule changes in baseball. And if you haven't seen them, I give a full breakdown of them on they're on our social media page. You can go check those out. But I'm just going to really quick review with you guys. The new rules will be a pitch clock. If the bases are empty, the pitcher has 15 seconds to get into his windup. If there's runners on, they have 20 seconds to get into their windup. The shift will again be very huge. This is encouraging more balls in play, less, just more balls in play. And actually the home run is a great thing for baseball, but it's actually become a detriment to baseball because it's either a home run or a strikeout. Major League Baseball wants shorter games, but more balls in play, more runners on base, more exciting baseball. And that's what eliminating the shift is going to do. So the infielders must have both feet on the infield and two on each side of second base. So that is that rule, and we'll see how it all plays out. But it's going to be very interesting and something to get used to in the coming weeks and months, maybe even year for Major League Baseball. But I would argue this is the biggest change to Major League Baseball that I can ever remember. I mean, I can't think, if maybe I'm wrong, but think about another rule change. Maybe, you know, they added the DH so the pitcher doesn't hit anymore. That's a huge change. But to me, this is like the pitch clock is like the biggest thing in baseball to me. So I don't know.
It'll probably attract me to attend a game again.
Yeah, because you're not going to be sitting there for 4 hours. Exactly. You're going to be there for 2.5. And
exactly right.
Now you got an hour and a half to go walk around Cleveland or Pittsburgh or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think that's great. So any other thoughts on baseball before we shift?
I think, you know, I kind of pick a player to watch every mm-hmm. year to kind of keep an eye on. I think Stephen Kwan is probably my go-to.
He's
just
fun.
So exciting to watch.
He's fun.
What about you? Who's your go-to?
Well, I mean, right now, Jose Ramirez, I just absolutely love the guy. He is like maybe the most fun player in baseball, and you know, maybe being a little biased being a Cleveland player, but he is so much fun to watch and just does amazing things. So coming off, I only watched one of the World Baseball Classic games, and I saw the last couple innings. It was Japan, US, and Otani and Trout, and that was like the pinnacle of baseball right there. And they're two teammates going against each other, one for Japan, one for the United States. That was pretty exciting. But for me, you know, Jose Ramirez is my number one pick right now. Real quick, just going to go over the like top guys in a fantasy league. So these are names you're going to hear all over the place, but Trey Turner, shortstop for the Philadelphia Phillies, Aaron Judge, already hit a home run this season, set the American League record last year. Ronald Acuna Jr., outfielder for the Braves. Jose Ramirez is going top three, top four, top five in most fantasy drafts this year. Julio Rodriguez, who we'll see, is an outfielder for the Seattle Mariners. Kyle Tucker for the Astros. Juan Soto for the San Diego Padres. Jordan Alvarez for the Houston Astros. Mookie Betts, Vlad Guerrero Jr., which when I was... This ages me a little bit. I remember my very first fantasy baseball draft. Vladimir Guerrero Sr. was my very first pick in that league. It was him and Manny Ramirez back to back. So that was like 1995, 96 in that range. And it was just like that ages me. You know what I mean? It's like just they're so, so good. Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, Corbin Barnes, first pitcher, Bobby Witt Jr., Bo Bichette, Garrett Cole, Manny Machado, Rafael Devers, Pete Alonso, Mike Trout. Those are going to be the guys you generally hear going at the top of fantasy baseball drafts. So not a whole lot of pitchers, a whole lot of hitting. So we shall see, but should be good.
Do you bet baseball?
I have not bet baseball probably in about 10 years since I was in Las Vegas and did a random parlay, but I may dabble into it now that it's legal. So I haven't bet a game yet. So
okay.
It is opening day.
Yeah, right. Might as well.
So
right?
You know. So we'll see.
I would put some money down on that 4-3 score. That's probably
best. You know what? And for what I didn't even think about it until you asked me, and that was a score that popped into my head. So 4-3.
Okay.
I know in hockey you can do like prediction scores, and I don't bet hockey, but your odds are pretty lucrative if you do hit that. It's probably, I would guess like 4-3 would be probably like plus 1500. So throw $5 on it, 15
yeah,
to one,
yeah.
You know, Joe, by the way, what happened to Gonzaga?
I don't know, man. They freaking fell apart. Like that wasn't even the same team out there.
I was watching that UCLA game and Gonzaga was like, they were down at 13 at halftime. Then they were up 10 and then they came back and won. And I was like, damn, I'm going to have to buy Joe a bottle of Blanton's. And then UConn just laid it on Gonzaga. So, so that gets us to our final four, which will happen this weekend.
Which Gonzaga is not in.
They are not in this year. UConn knocked them off. And this final four is drunk this year. This is the first time since 1961 that there will be no top 10 team in the Final Four.
Love that.
That's pretty awesome, though. Love it. And you have all these beautiful destinations. You got San Diego. You got Florida Atlantic, which is in Boca Raton. You got Miami, Florida. Oh, yeah, and you got Storrs, Connecticut. So
don't go there.
But I must say, I am a little disappointed in our media followers and people on social media that like this but did not comment. But I'm gonna wag my finger at you in just a minute here. But here is a look at the women's Final Four: LSU, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, and Iowa. Ohio State was this close to making it to the Final Four. They lost to Virginia Tech in the women's game, which was a great season for them. And the reason I wanted to point this out, I know we don't talk a whole lot of women's hoops outside of Youngstown State, but Gino Auriemma and UConn, who Ohio State knocked off, this is the first time they did not make a Sweet 16 in 16 years. That shows how, or an Elite Eight in 16 years, that shows how well run that program is. So what a run by the UConn Huskies there. Now, speaking of the UConn Huskies, let's talk about the men's team real quick. Led by head coach Bobby Hurley, they knocked off Gonzaga to get to the Final Four, but they beat Iona, St. Mary's, Arkansas, and those Gonzaga Bulldogs that I mentioned. Love that Husky mascot, by the way. That's very cool. There's Sebastian the Ibis, the Miami Hurricane mascot, Jim Larrañaga and the Canes rally to they were down by like 13 points against Texas in the second half, come back and win that game. So their road to the Final Four was Drake, Indiana, and then they knocked off the number one Houston Cougars and the number two Texas Longhorns, both in their region, to get to the Final Four. Now, Joe, peep the screen and tell me, here's where I'm disappointed at some of our viewers. And because I even put this out there, I said, what is obvious about what do you notice? Now, let me go back real quick. So Storrs, Connecticut, right? Mm-hmm. Miami, Florida. Let me skip ahead. Boca Raton, Florida. San Diego is located. I believe the Germans had a name for it, which was a whale's vagina. I had to throw in the Anchorman comment, San Diego. Okay. So I'm a little disappointed no one picked up on that. I was very proud of myself, I'm not going to lie, by putting that in there. But this is the school's first.
I totally missed that. So
I think everybody missed it. So I had to point it out because I'm like, I mean, I wanted to give myself a little bit of credit there. But, you know, I did what I did. But San Diego State will take on Florida Atlantic, who is the number 9 seed. So I believe the seeds add up to 23, which is like the second highest total of sums since like 1960 or something like that, or 71. So pretty crazy stuff. Now, Joe,
yes.
I put out a bracket on social media of mascots because, you know, there's people out there that don't watch college hoops too much. I'm one of those people. I don't spend a whole lot of time watching college hoops in season. You know, it's just a busy time of year. You got the holidays and then NFL football and college football, and then all of a sudden, like, once football ends, that's when I start really getting into college basketball. So I'm not too in tune with these teams, except for maybe a couple that I follow, until, you know, conference tournament time, which is like early March, late February. So I put together a bracket, and I had our social, you know, I had people vote on Twitter and stuff like that to advance the mascots. So we had the Alabama elephant, I think they call him Big Al, versus the San Diego State. And just to avoid any politically incorrectness, we just automatically move Big Al on there. The Alabama mascot. Then we had the Blue Jay from Creighton versus the Princeton Tiger. The Creighton Blue Jay moved on in that vote. The Florida Atlantic Owl versus Smokey the Dog from Tennessee. Smokey moved on in that one. K-State Wildcat versus Sparty. Sparty moved on in that mascot challenge. So that's on the one side. On the other side, we had Sebastian the Ibis, which, if you've ever been to Florida, those things are all over the beach. moves on. We had the Longhorn move on over the Xavier Musketeer, which I believe they call him D'Artagnan, which is one of the three Musketeers.
Yeah.
We had the Yukon Husky over the Arkansas Hogs. And then we had Gonzaga once again knocked off. This time UCLA beats them though, but I can't remember what they call him, Bob the Bruin or something. But anyway, we got down to the finals of Smokey versus Bevo. And I did not put this out to vote yet. So I just want to ask you, Joe, what would your vote be versus Smokey versus Bevo?
Which is which?
So, Smokey's the dog, Smokey's and Bevo's the Longhorn.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Longhorn.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty cool. But if you've ever seen Smokey in person, I'm going to go with the real live actual Smokey in mind. So Joe and I are split on this. So you guys out there can vote on this. I'll put that out on social media later. Smokey versus Bevo. You tell us
ones that I knew were, I'm used to seeing Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to seeing Miami,
yep.
Arkansas, and then UCLA sort of. I didn't know that's what it looked like, but whatever. But
I just went with different ones. Yeah, yeah. And I went with the animals. Like, you know, some of them have like a letter, or like Miami has the U, but I went with the animals that represented, or the things that represented, like the Musketeer or the Kansas State Wildcat one was funny because Kansas State had an awesome run in the tournament, but at the football games, they wear the shoulder pads and the helmet, cat head or whatever. At the basketball games, they were literally just wearing the head, and that was it. It was like regular human arms and stuff, so it looked a little weird. But
the elephant one is the only one that confuses me a little bit, because I don't know how they arrived at. Like, if they had like a teaspoon of water, water or something like that, that would make sense.
So Alabama's the Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
But they're also so I don't know. Like, that's just what they but
not
they,
many elephants are in Alabama.
No. Not there's bad. Not many. Probably the ones that are there are either in a zoo or illegally obtained by some crazy southerner.
Mike Tyson has a house down there with a couple of
elephants. Yeah. So but the elephant, and this is apparently where this name comes from. You know, they say Roll Tide and, you know, all that stuff. But apparently when I think it was the football team, like way back in the 30s, they like came out and they sounded like they were like marching elephants. They were loud, I guess. So I don't know. Do you know where the YSU penguin mascot came from?
I guess you could say we don't have many penguins here.
Yeah, right? We do not have many penguins in Youngstown.
Someone's sitting in the stadium and they were freezing their nuts off. And they were like, damn, I feel like a penguin in the
Arctic. You're getting warm, although you're right on the cold arena. So I guess YSU was playing Buffalo, or a school up in Buffalo, and YSU basketball, I believe it was the men's team, and this was going decades and decades and decades back. They said the basketball players were cold too, because, you know, you're wearing short shorts and sleeveless shirts, and they were like kind of like waddling back to the huddle, and apparently someone in the crowd said they look like penguins, and that's where the name caught on. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, anybody out there, but that's where I believe the YSU penguins came from, and it was in Buffalo where that originated. So
that's bad marketing.
Fun fact.
They need to pick another. Mm-hmm. Let's not go with penguins. Let's pick something else. Let's
I really do like the penguins though. I think it's just so cool. They penguins march. They're like,
so when you see a penguin, do you ever feel threatened?
No.
They're not a threatening animal.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Go
lions and, you know, even an elephant. An elephant doesn't even really, you know, they're just big. Let's pick something else.
But what would people say to, what's a brown? What's a charger? You know, like what's a?
You're changing the subject. Dog is our mascot.
That's true. We have a live animal.
Yes.
Dog. You brought up a good point to help me transition to our next topic, though, with marketing. So the next thing I want to bring up, and I was going to do this on next Tuesday's show, but I thought, what the hell? It's already done. Let's do it now. We can maybe revisit it. We'll just touch on it today. But we've talked about name, image, and likeness, NIL. on this show. We've talked about it. We had a guest sitting right in that chair where you are, and she makes NIL money, Malia from YSU. But three of the YSU women's basketball players are in their conference, three of the highest paid NIL players based on their conference. Now we go to the national level, and I was just curious. So I looked it up and I took the top five women and the top five men NIL earners. This is really interesting. What would you guess the top female earner is evaluated at? They don't give exact dollar amounts, but they give approximations. So I will tell you it's in the millions.
Seriously?
Yes.
Holy.
So the top two female athletes make over $1 million.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And now is this like they're using them in car commercials or what?
I think a lot of it is social media driven, TikTok and Instagram. Yeah. So give me a guess what you would think. And I will say the top female earner is way above and beyond the number two.
Well, I was going to go with 50K, so I'm not even in the ballpark. So
3.4 million.
Are you serious?
So her name is Livy Dunn. She is kind of a TikTok sensation, you know, Snapchat, all this, Instagram, pretty much all the social medias combined. So if you add up all her social medias, based on the site I use, she has 11.2 million followers. Now that could be doubled up based on different platforms, but she is a junior. What sport would you guess she is in?
Basketball?
She is not. I will say three of the top five are basketball, but the top two are gymnasts.
Really?
So she is a gymnast at LSU. She's a junior, so she can cash in on this at least while she's in school for at least another year. So she has an 11.2 million followers and a $3.4 million evaluation.
Was that girl they featured that she has a following that a bunch of fan groups show up whenever she goes?
Probably. I haven't seen it. And I had heard her name, but when I was doing the story, then I followed her on Instagram and I can see the appeal. She's beautiful girl. And she's talented. She's a good gymnast too, but, she is cashing in and good for her because why not?
Yeah.
And so the next one, and so I'm going to go through this list real quick here. The next one is, Suni Lee, who you might remember. She was in the Olympics, a medalist. She is a sophomore gymnast at Auburn. 3.5 million followers, $1.4 million evaluation. How about the next two? Three and four are sisters. They are twins, Haley and Hannah Cavender. They are both senior basketball players at Miami. They both have around 5 million followers. I don't know if Haley's more popular than Hannah just slightly because one has 5.1 million followers, one has five, but they are both evaluated $862,000 NIL evaluation. And then the last one on the list is Paige, I believe it's Buckers. She is a junior at UConn, basketball player, 1.6 million followers, and about a $750,000 evaluation for her on NIL. So pretty amazing there. So that was one of the top five females. Joe, I will tell you, two of the three top college evaluations for NIL, the kids aren't even in college yet. They're still seniors in high school being recruited, and NIL will be a big thing. One of them, their father is from right here in the 330, was LeBron James. So he's probably hurting for money and probably needs this.
Oh, sure.
So I will say his evaluation is even way higher than the female evaluation and way higher than any other athlete's evaluation. $7.2 million evaluation based on NIL deals he could get. So pretty insane. Wow. For a kid that hasn't even graduated high school yet. So Bronny James, basketball, incoming freshman, he's being recruited, and Ohio State's in the mix. USC, UCLA, and Oregon, I believe, are the four schools he's choosing from. So three West Coast. So my guess would be USC or UCLA in Los Angeles, where you can kind of maybe cash in on that. But Columbus is a huge market. They're figuring out their NIL stuff. But you know, he's a really good player. He's not his dad. He's not going to be a top five NBA player. He's going to be a good NBA player eventually, but he is by no means like a guarantee. So should be interesting there. The next player also comes from a family that's probably hurting for money. Arch Manning. Mm-hmm. So this is now this is the third brother. So there was Peyton and Eli that played in the NFL.
The worst sports commentators on the planet.
I actually like them. I think they're good, but
that's just your opinion.
That's just my opinion. Yes. I could see how they could be a little long-winded, maybe a little annoying, but Arch Manning, $3.7 million evaluation, and he only has 243,000 followers on social media. So I don't know if he's maybe just on one platform or whatever, but he is a new enrollee at Texas. So then the other three round out Mikey Williams, who's being recruited for basketball. He's an incoming freshman, 6 million followers, $3.3 million evaluation. The Heisman Trophy winner from last year, Caleb Williams from football, also at USC, 275,000 followers, $2.6 million evaluation. And then Travis Hunter, who was the number one recruit in the nation for football last year, went with Deion Sanders to Jackson State, now has followed Deion Sanders to the University of Colorado. He is worth a $1.4 million evaluation. And I believe Barstool last year, Barstool Sports, gave him $1 million NIL deal. So very interesting stuff there.
I'm surprised that more people haven't done squatting on, like, you know, go into a JV game and offer someone a $50 per year, 20-year contract for NIL.
Yeah.
And then one of those is going to work out. I mean, something.
Well, and some deals, you know, like some are contracts. Some are, I don't believe you can do it performance-based because, first of all, it's college. And, you know, second of all, there's things out of your control that you can't always control, like injuries and playing time and stuff like that. So, but it's very interesting. Like, who's to say, like, an NIL deal doesn't always have to be money either. It can be like maybe product. You get like, you know, gear, or you get clothing, or you get a car or whatever. Like CJ Stroud last year, I think, was Ohio State number one, and he was like number two or three overall, and he was $1.7 million. But we had talked about it before. Someone gave him like a Rolls Royce or something, you know, a Bentley or some sort of crazy car that was worth, like, it's like, how about I buy a $200,000 car and I'll take the extra $300,000 in cash. Like, but he's going to be just fine. He's probably the number one pick in the draft coming up, but you know,
there's former Ohio State players are like, you son of a bitch.
Him and Smith and Jigba. But like, that's the thing. Ohio State says, and this is like a point of contention with NIL. It's like, NIL is not designed for pay for play, to pay recruits to come in and play. It's designed for performance based. Like, you get that money after you've shown what you can do on the field. And that, I don't see why that's a bad deal. Like, right. And, or maybe you're just have another talent, or you're a likable player, and maybe you get a deal with a car company, or maybe you get a deal with Cane's chicken fried, you know, fingers, and you get, you know, that's your deal. You just get free food, you know, whatever it might be.
And I like,
so,
because of those kids are putting so much out on the field. Some of them get hurt, never get it realized.
Exactly.
You know, and at least they can recoup something.
Yeah. Yeah. And NIL is like, you're obviously, a lot of these guys are going to get paid, you know, going to the NFL, but it's like less than 2% make it to the NFL that play college football. So it's like, yeah, might as well take advantage of the system, especially if it's not being regulated right now. So I'm not going to put this slide up because we got some language in it, but I will say,
I've been swearing like a pirate over here, and you're worried about some language on a slide.
Well, I will say, Ravens fans have not been too happy with the Cleveland Browns ownership because of the Deshaun Watson contract. He was guaranteed. So this is now the number one NFL story, based on, this is the only NFL thing we're going to talk about, but it's Browns related and Baltimore Ravens, and pretty much the whole NFL related, because Lamar Jackson is not happy with the Ravens. He's requested a trade. Yeah. He wants out. The Ravens obviously still want him, but they're not meeting his contract demands. Now, there's two sides to this story. Lamar Jackson's agent is himself and his mother. So he has to deal with, like, here's what we think you're worth, instead of the go-between, the agent. So there's maybe some hurt feelings and stuff involved. But Lamar Jackson isn't getting the money guaranteed that he wants. The Ravens are blaming that on the Browns for signing Deshaun Watson. And here's what I say. This was X number of years ago, but it happened in March, in whatever, 95, 96, when Art Modell agreed to move the Browns to Baltimore. And my question is, why should any Browns fan care what a Baltimore Ravens owner thinks? We don't. And the Haslams, you may like the Haslams, you may dislike the Haslams, you may fall somewhere in between, but they had a press conference and they said, we paid to get the best quarterback who we thought would win. So you cannot fault them. They are at least trying to win, and they're going to go out and do their best. So we don't care what the Baltimore Ravens ownership thinks. You know what? I hope he requests $55 million guaranteed per year. And you know what? Screw Baltimore. Screw Cincinnati when it comes time for them to pay Joe Burrow. Whatever your favorite team is, that's who you root for.
That's right.
And you know what? Business is business. These guys did not become billionaires with making bad deals. So, yeah, do NFL teams make mistakes, swing and miss? Of course they do. But I don't care what the Ravens do. Is it better for the Browns if Lamar Jackson isn't playing for the Ravens? You bet your ass it is. I think he's 6-3 against the Browns. But he also hasn't played, like, in December in, like, the last 2 years. So you got to think Baltimore's maybe hedging on – you know, how long is this guy going to play? And if we're guaranteeing money, so I can see both sides of the story, but you don't get a guy that talented very often. So I would lock him up if I'm the Ravens, and he's not going to play on the franchise tag. So it's going to be a very contentious situation until all this is done. So.
Did you see Baker almost ended up there before he went to the Bucks?
No.
Yeah.
That's true.
He was a contender for the Baltimore Ravens. Wow.
So if Lamar would have left and Baker would have signed there, he very well could have been their starting quarterback this year. I would have loved that. Just another great narrative for the Baker boys and whatnot. Yeah. But I saw this graphic out there, and it said, here's the domino effect. So Anthony Schwartz, by the way, who will probably be cut now because the Browns signed two more speedy receivers, and you know, so we'll see. But Anthony Schwartz, 2 years ago, stopped short on a route, which led to a Baker Mayfield interception, which led to Baker Mayfield trying to tackle the Houston defender, gets hurt, plays hurt, wasn't the same quarterback as the year before. The Browns then trade Baker. They need a quarterback. They give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. Lamar Jackson now wants a fully guaranteed contract. And Lamar Jackson might leave the Baltimore Ravens. So in a way, ipso facto, whatever you want to say, the Browns signing Deshaun Watson also helps the Browns, but it also might have hurt the Ravens. So maybe a 2-for-1 deal there. So
Yeah. Where
would you bet your money if you had to? Baltimore or the field? We'll just call it even odds. Baltimore or the field of where Lamar Jackson plays next year?
The field.
For the field?
Sure. Oh, he's okay. Gone. Like, there's no way they're paying him.
I'm going to just call my shot. I think if he's not playing for Baltimore, he's going to play for one of three teams. I think the team I would love to see him go to, the Detroit Lions. I would love that. That would be my favorite team. I know Seattle signed Geno Smith long-term, but that's contract that can be, like, moved on from. Seattle would be a good option. Or Indianapolis. But I would like to see him in the NFC where we don't have to play him too much, because we already got Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and all those guys to go through. One less guy to worry about.
Well, so who's in for Rodgers? Like, I didn't.
Rodgers is probably going to the Jets, but right. That deal, no one's in a hurry to make a move. I think the Jets.
So if he leaves, is that a fourth option for Lamar?
Possibly, but the Jets, I don't think, want to give up too many assets, and they know they got Rodgers wants to be there, so we'll see. By the way, really, really last thing, I said this was the only NFL. How ironic is it, and you know how big of a stance Aaron Rodgers took against like the vaccine and stuff. Do you know who the owner of the New York Jets is? His name's Woody Johnson. You know what family he comes from?
Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson. Interesting. You know what Johnson and Johnson produces?
The vaccines.
So it's all a circle of life.
That's
around
how
here.
I know that we're in a simulation, because that kind of irony doesn't exist.
No,
outside.
No, that's just good shit you can't make up. So, all right. With that said, everybody enjoy your weekend. By the way, Joe, who you got in the final four this weekend? Let me, or actually next show. So let me give you the four teams and you just pick me a champion. Okay. You got UConn. You got Miami. You got San Diego State. And who am I missing? UConn. Oh, and you got Florida Atlantic. So UConn, Miami, San Diego State, or Florida Atlantic. Who's your champion?
All right, I'm going with Duke.
All right, Joe's going with Duke. I'm going to take the field. I'm going to actually say UConn wins the national championship.
Really?
That
would make me feel better, at least.
I'm going to say UConn. That way you can say your Gonzaga Bulldogs lost to the eventual champion.
All right.
So that's what I'm going to put my money on this weekend. So we'll see. Everybody have a great weekend. We appreciate you watching, listening. Follow us on social media, Youngstown Studio, 330 Sports Show. Happy 330 Day. I'm going to go get one of those Youngstown clothing company 330 shirts. So check them out too. But make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and 330 Sports Show. We appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would